feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. On our program last time, we began looking at a great story of victory in 1 Samuel chapter 14. It is the story of Jonathan and his armor-bearer, who were willing to step out in faith and take territory for the kingdom. They went up in the rocks and slew 20 Philistines. This is a great example to us, because God has enemy territory that He wants us to take. As we join John for the continuation of this teaching, he will share with us an important statement of Jesus that explains this. Here now is Pastor John.
Matthew chapter 16, Jesus told me and you, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, for many years, I used to think that that was a verse for the church saying, Satan is not going to conquer us. That we'll be okay. That he can't conquer you and can't conquer me and can't conquer our congregation corporately. But that's not what Jesus was getting at. I used to think that in my growing up years. Oh yeah, man, Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail. But you know, one day years ago, I was thinking about that a little more carefully. And it hit me, it occurred to me. Gates. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Gates don't attack. I've never seen gates attack anybody. You don't walk down a sidewalk and say, watch out. Gates might be on the attack. I got to be careful today because the gates might be coming out on the attack. No, gates don't attack. We go through gates. And Jesus was saying the gates of hell shall not prevail. What he's declaring is you offensively are going to storm through the gates of hell. You on the offense are going to take the territory that was held by the enemy previously. That's what, just like these guys, what are they doing? They're going up the rocks into enemy territory. Remember, that's the key. If the enemy, if the Philistines say, stay right there, we're going to come down and get you, let's split. But if they say, come on up here, hey, let's go, God's with us. That's what Jesus told me and you that we get to do. Storm the gates of hell. To go through, to take on, to conquer that which was previously held by the enemy. What do you mean? People that are held in captivity. Places that have been polluted spiritually. We get to go on the offensive, on the attack. Like I got to do in the airport today. Just talking to an older black gentleman, sitting there having a bit of pizza. He was at the next table. Got to share with him just a bit. But you see, I got to go on the offense. I got to stretch my hand out and engage in a conversation and reach into the enemy's territory and do some ministering, some work, you see. And that's the deal. Jonathan's on his knees, literally, and the enemy is trembling physically because Satan trembles when he sees even the weakest saint upon his knees. I like this story. Here they are, going into the enemy's territory. The Philistines are shaken up, and they begin to butcher each other in their confusion. Well, Saul, verse 17, when he hears about this, he says unto the people with him, number now, take roll call, and see who is gone from us. And when they numbered the troops of Israel, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. Saul, verse 18, said to Ahiah, bring the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the people of Israel. It came to pass while Saul talked to the priest that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. Saul calls for the ark. He hears the noise from the Philistine camp growing louder, the decibels rising. And Saul said to the priest, withdraw your hand. Oh, Saul, same problem as we saw last week. He calls for the ark to get direction from God. He hears the noise of the Philistines getting louder in the distance. Hey, take away your hand from seeking the will of God. That's the idea here. We got to do something. There's a war going on. There's a battle taking place. He called for the ark. He sought God seemingly, but he didn't wait patiently. This is Saul's problem. He doesn't understand. He still doesn't get it. The need to slow down and wait on the Lord and seek after the Lord. Instead, the battle is raging. He's got to do something, he thinks. Withdraw your hand. And Saul, verse 20, and all the people that were with him assembled themselves. They came to the battle, and behold, every man's sword was against his fellow. There was a very great discomfiture. That is, the Philistines again fighting each other. And the Hebrews, verse 21, that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Also, verse 22, all the men of Israel, which had hid themselves in the Mount of Ephraim, when they heard the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. Verse 21 and 22 tells me and you that when this amazing victory was unfolding, the Israelites were previously siding with the Philistines, subdued by the Philistines, suddenly got their courage. The ones that were there working hand in hand, the ones that were in a way allied with the enemy, when they saw what was happening, they changed sides and they went back where they were supposed to be, under the banner of Israel and God's company. And other guys that were just hiding away, afraid of the Philistines. They weren't allied with them, but they were intimidated by them. These guys came out of their holes. They left their caves. And they all began to move into this glorious unity, all because two young men, Jonathan and his buddy, two young guys, caused those that were on the wrong side to get back on the right side. Caused those that were afraid and hiding away in those days to surface and to join the party. Just two young guys. That's all it took. Two young men who were willing to say, let's just go see what the Lord might want to do. I wonder what young couple is here tonight. I wonder what young man. I wonder what young woman. I wonder who, young in the Lord perhaps, maybe not even young chronologically, but maybe young in the Lord and you just don't know any better than to say, let's just expect a miracle. Let's just go and see what God might want to do. Let's just launch out. Let's take a chance. Let's just, hey, why not? You see? Let's go. Let's do it. What do you say? I wonder who is young of heart here tonight. I wonder who the Lord might be talking to. You're tired of the mundane. You're tired of the predictable. You're tired of that which is, oh, easy to do in your own energy. You want something which you say it's got to be God or it's not going to happen, you see. Two guys, man, they were on their knees. The enemy was freaked out. God moved in and caused the ground to shake round about. And others, God's people that were previously on the wrong side or hiding away, hey, man, because of two young men, there was revival in the land in that day. These two young guys did something wonderful. Hey, what do you say? Maybe the Lord's speaking to you and me and saying, there's something I want to do that's really going to be incredible. It's going to be ground shaking. It's going to cause other people to get fired up and turned on, get right, you see. Wonder what it might be. Wonder who God's talking to tonight. I wonder what he's saying to me. Wow. So these guys did that. Well, the Lord saved, verse 23, Israel that day. And the men of Israel were distressed, verse 24 says. For Saul, here's why they were distressed. Here there was a great victory for Israel. But yet they were distressed because, you see, Saul adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening time, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. When the Philistines were running away and fighting each other in their confusion that day, Saul suddenly kicks in. Saul suddenly gets involved. And Saul says, okay, fellas, he says to his boys, to his troops, nobody eats anything all day long. I want you to be focused like a laser on chasing down the enemy. Don't stop and eat. Don't take a coffee break. I want you to go after the enemy. I don't want you to take a break for any reason, you see. Cursed or dead will be the man who stops for any reason. That's what he said. That was his command. And he cursed any man who would stop, even for a morsel of food. And verse 25, all they of the land came to a wood. They're chasing the enemy, the people of Israel, the soldiers, the army. And there was honey on the ground. Now they've been fighting and chasing and running and working. And now there's honey. It'd be like quarter pounders just sitting there. You know what I mean? Just right all around. Extra value meals. I mean, right there, the big Cokes, you know, and the French fries with extra salt. Man. It was all around. It was sweet. Honey on the ground. And when the people, the men of Israel were coming to the wood, behold, honey dropped. It dropped right in front of them. Now picture the scene. They've been running, they're working, they're fighting, they're hungering. And now honey is just dropping right before them. Wow. But no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath, the command of Saul that day. Cursed be anyone who eats anything until evening's come, till evening comes. Saul said, don't eat. Don't take time to eat. There's work to do. Honey, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are true, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. You don't have time for devotions. Don't go to Bible study. Don't think about it this weekend, a retreat, you see. There's work to do. The business needs your attention. The family needs your presence. The lawn needs to be mowed. You don't have time to stop. Sweetie, honey, you don't have time to eat. Oh, but the Lord would say, don't you understand? If you slow down and take the time to eat the honey, the word, you'll do better as a dad. You'll go further in your company. You'll be a better wife. You need to eat and feed your soul if you're going to overtake and overcome the enemy. Saul was foolish. Saul is like you and me. Saul is in the flesh, and that can happen to us too, quite frankly. I don't have time. I don't have time for the word. There's phone calls to make and emails to send, and there's stuff I got to attend, and there's things I got to do. I don't have time for this. And there are people that should be here tonight but aren't because of this very thing. Well, you know, there's a lot to do. See? Really? That's the flesh speaking to me. That's the flesh commanding you. Don't stop and eat the honey. But Jonathan, verse 27, heard not when his father charged the people with this oath. So he put the end of the rod that was in his hand and dipped it in the honeycomb and put his hand to his mouth. What does it say? And his eyes were enlightened. The commandment of the Lord is pure, Psalm 19 goes on to say, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, sweeter also than honey. Jonathan didn't hear his dad. Now, he literally didn't hear him. But the picture, the illustration for you and me is, don't listen to that father flesh talk to you and say you don't have time for the honeycomb. Jonathan dipped it in and his eyes were enlightened, which means he was energized. The honey energized him, you see. Then answered one of the people, verse 28, thy father charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eats any food this day. And the people were faint or weary. Jonathan said, my father has troubled this land. See how my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little bit of this honey. Jonathan realized his father was a fool. Look, the honey has enlightened me. I'm energized. I'm more effective and more efficient because I took a little time for the honey, the sweetness, and it's invigorated me. Oh, how much more, verse 30, if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies. Oh, how much more could have been done. They smote the Philistines that day from Michmash, verse 31, to Ajalon, about 14 miles northwest of Jerusalem. The people flew upon the spoil. Now, here's where the plot thickens, or should I say sickens. Because now, the people had not eaten anything because of Saul's commandment that day. So now the Philistines are beaten, and what do? They took the sheep, the oxen, the calves, verse 32, they slew them, and the people did eat them with the blood. They were so hungry from their running that day, from the battle they were fighting, you see, that they just started chomping on the food that was before them, the food of the enemy. It was unclean. It wasn't kosher. It wasn't prepared properly. The blood wasn't drained as it was supposed to be. But listen, take note, mark this. If I don't have a little bit of the honey, I'll end up eating of the unclean meat, the flesh. It happens. It happens all the time. If my eyes aren't enlightened because I've dipped into the word and been reinvigorated, you know what happens? I go through a day, and when the day is over and I've worked hard and I've been focused like a laser, but I haven't taken the time to dip my hand into the honey. What happens is when the day's over, I dive into the unclean flesh. I go home. It's night. I'm hungry. I'm hungry. So I have a scoop of ice cream. Or two. Or a gallon. And then I feel sick. And I go, man, why did I eat all that ice cream? What's the deal? I didn't take time for dinner. I was too busy. I didn't have time for devotions. After all, I'm in the ministry. And I'm hungry. And I think I'm hungry for ice cream. So I have a gallon. And I've done that. Not once or twice. And then you're just so full of ice cream. You just can't budge, and you just don't feel like even sleeping because you just feel like, so you turn on the TV. And you watch some dumb show, some dumb thing. Might be some kind of a political debate where they're screaming each other for 2 hours. Crossfire, Fox News, whatever. Might be some late night talk show and some comedian saying stuff that's not even funny. But your flesh, you're just diving in. Ah, no, I don't want to do this. So you turn off the TV, you grab Time Magazine. That's what I'll do. I'll read a mag. Maybe that'll make me sleepy. So I'll read Time or Newsweek, what have you. See? Nah, that's not it. And by that time, I think I need a bowl of cereal. So you pour yourself a bowl of Honey Nut Cheerios, see? You sit there and you chomp away on the Cheerios, and then you think, oh man, I better check my email. And before you know it, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. And you've eaten a bunch of junk, and you watch TV, and you dinked around on your computer for a while, or you read the newspaper or whatever, and you're still... You're stuffed in one way, but you're hungry. And then you say, well, maybe I should read the Bible. So you take your Bible and you open it up, and the most amazing thing happens. Your eyes are enlightened. Your soul is satiated. Suddenly you're talking stuff over with the Lord, and you're hearing something from the Lord, and there's this thing going on between me and the Lord, and it's wonderful.
It certainly is wonderful. And it is also incredible that we are so slow to learn this lesson. We seem to feed ourselves with the things of the world before we even consider feeding ourselves with the Word of God. Let's learn this lesson that Jonathan is illustrating. Let's have our eyes enlightened by the Word of God regularly.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
The Apostle Paul said that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you would like to increase your faith and hear more of the Word of God, you may wish to consider Pastor John's complete set of Through the Bible teachings. This set contains over 1,200 teachings from Genesis to Revelation in MP3 audio format. These MP3 formatted teachings can be used with most mobile phones, computers, tablets, or other mobile devices. You may order Pastor John's Through the Bible MP3 audio set from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.